This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Peter, you know, there are very few people in our business
as talented as me
that loves and respects LeBron James more than me.
Yeah, you call him the Condor.
The Condor. He's everything that I'd want in a player. Now he's like sending out like congratulatory rooting tweets for the Dodgers. You're from Akron, Ohio, dude. You're an Indians fan. Just because you play for the Lakers doesn't mean you automatically become a Dodger fan. It's not the way it works. That's a phony fandom.
Oh.
You can't do that. I'm wrong? Don, I'm wrong.
I mean, yes, only because he's already a sports fraud wearing a Yankee hat when he's supposed to be an Indians fan. So if you're a fraud, then you're in L.A., root for the Dodgers.
But growing up, he said he was always a Yankee fan, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but where do the Dodgers come into play? You automatically just, you adopt the Dodgers because you play for the Lakers now?
Yes, that's what he did. A lot of sports athletes do
but
that.
But why does he have to do it? He's above all this trash. Above
because
it.
Well, you say he's above it, but I think he's not really a diehard fan, and he's, a really nice guy that wants to root for the Dodgers and be part of the community there because he's all in on L.A. now, right? That's where he lives. That's where he's going to spend the rest of his life, likely, right? He had a home there before he even became a Laker. So he's adopted the Dodgers, and I don't mind that because he was a fraud fan to begin with.
So you're excusing him because you're looking at him as a fraud fan.
Yes.
Never looked at him as a fraud fan.
Why wouldn't you? If you're an Indians fan, why are you wearing a Yankee hat?
Well, he was never real. He adopted the Indians when they were in the World Series because he is from Akron. He wanted to win a championship.
But he grew up
as a Yankee fan.
Right. So he grew up a Yankee fan. He adopted the Indians when he was in Ohio. Now he's adopting the Lakers when he's in L.A.
But he was born in Ohio. He has no connection to L.A. other than he moved there for work. It would be like if Peter moved to New York, which he did for work, and all of a sudden became a Yankee fan. He's not a Yankee fan.
The second he became a Yankee fan growing up in Ohio, he became a fraud.
But no. If you choose to be a Yankee fan for whatever reason, that's up to you. That doesn't make you a fraud. It makes you a fraud if you move somewhere and all of a sudden you're rooting on the Lakers. It just comes off as cheap and smelly.
But better than that. But sports is not that important, right? So I call people frauds, but sometimes the people I love, I'll call them frauds. So he doesn't look at being a fan of a baseball team all that important. So now he's decided to root for the Dodgers. He rooted for the Indians when he was in Ohio. He grew up a Yankee fan. So you see what I mean, Peter? If he was a diehard Yankee fan, never cared about the Indians, all he cared about were the Yankees, only went to Yankee games, then this would be fraudulent behavior. But it seems like his fandom was up for grabs from the second he became a fan, so it doesn't bother me.
But you don't understand. Okay, so he grew up loving the Yankees for whatever reason, right?
Right.
And then the Indians have a chance to win a championship, and he's of Ohio, and okay, I'm going to root the Indians because the Yankees aren't in it. I mean, he had Yankee cap on when they played the Indians in the playoffs. Now he moves to L.A., he got transferred for work, and all of a sudden he's a Dodger fan? It's ridiculous.
You're disgusted.
Come on, Condor, you're better than that. Let's bring in Mark Teixeira. Today's Mark Teixeira Report brought to you by Windorama and Anderson Windows and Nissan. I'm wondering, Mark, so you have children. You moved here for work. You are not originally from this area. Who do your kids root for? And do they root for the Yankees because daddy played for them?
Guys, my kids are so confused because we've lived in four different cities. We have friends on different teams. We have allegiances all over the country, and I understand what you guys are saying. You know, I wouldn't call LeBron a fraud. I would call him wanting to be comfortable in whatever city he's staying in or playing in. And it's tough. It really is. I mean, it's tough to be a diehard. Imagine if I went to New York as a Yankee and I got invited to a Giants game and I was wearing a Dallas Cowboy hat because I just lived in Dallas for 8 years. Right?
Right.
I'd be on the back page of the Post saying, you know, everyone calling me a turncoat or this and that.
If there was Twitter back then, would you have, and the Giants were making a Super Bowl run, would you be a phony and go, let's go Giants?
No. That, I think there's the line that's probably been crossed for LeBron is rather than being just, hey, I want to make my fans happy and I want to make my city happy, he's kind of gone over the limit and basically said, like, oh, this is my team, and yeah, I'm all in on you guys. Like, you can't be all in on that many different teams. I think that's the issue.
All right. We were talking about this earlier, Mark. If they knew they couldn't sign Mookie Betts, then I think I'm all in on the deal that Red Sox made. But if they traded one of the two best players in baseball, a homegrown star that's beloved in Boston, to get under a salary threshold, they will regret it and rue that decision for all time. Your thoughts?
This is a tough one, guys, because I actually see why the Red Sox did what they did. And the Red Sox are much different than the Yankees in this regard. The Yankees, every single year, want to put a winner out. Their fans demand it. The Steinbrenner family demands it. They're going to sign guys every single year to make sure that they have a chance to win a World Series, to make sure they're competitive. They don't want to lose their stars. They very rarely let their favorite players go to free agency and leave the team. The Boston Red Sox, if you guys notice, they're not afraid to be in last place. They're not afraid to tear it down real quick and build it up and win another World Series. I want to say that they've had two last place finishes in the last few years they've been winning World Series. So, okay, three last place finishes. So the Red Sox just have a fundamentally different view of what they expect and what their ownership. They're not as emotionally attached to their players and their fans. I truly believe that. And if you look at it that way, trading Mookie Betts was the right decision. If you look at it from a, hey, you traded away the best player in baseball, and in 2 years, you're going to hope that you have a guy like that step up. You're going to hope that Devers becomes a Mookie Betts-type player or Bogarts becomes that type of player. Because in a few years, the Red Sox will be back. And now they're going to say, well, where's our superstar? So I think it's two different conversations, but the Red Sox have proven they're not afraid to tear things down and build it back up.
Yeah, there's tearing down and building back up, but this is like Babe Ruth almost. I mean, this is something you'll never live down.
Babe Ruth was traded for money, and Mookie Betts was traded for money. That's unacceptable. They should have done – because in order to build back up, you don't trade your best player. Mookie Betts is going to be great 5 years from now.
Yeah, so now, Michael, you hit on it. That's the thing where if you told me, was it a good move or bad move, I'd say it's a bad move. The reason it was a bad move is because the Red Sox are not poor. The Red Sox are a team that they have tons of money, plenty of money. It's just a matter of how much the ownership was willing to spend. And for whatever reason, again, I told you guys, the Red Sox, trust me, the Red Sox are not an emotional organization. They are cutthroat. They want to win, but they are not afraid to trade their best players, to revamp things. Remember when Tito Francona got thrown under the bus in 2011?
Right.
That is one of the best men in all of Major League Baseball. He won two World Series for that team, broke the curse, and as soon as bad things happened, he got thrown under the bus, right? So, good or bad, I mean, that's just the way that they deal with things. But I don't think that was a smart decision because you traded away the best player, not because you got the most amazing prospects in the world in return. Right. It's because you wanted to save money. And I think that is the issue that fans will have the most problems.
And that's why I have no problem if the Indians trade Lindor. They can't sign him. He's their best player. They can't sign him. It's tough for their fans, but there's an economic reality. But with the Red Sox, there's no economic reality. They print money. They might make more money than anybody.
It just doesn't make sense. So Michael, as a fan, if I'm a Red Sox fan and I see the Red Sox building condos around Fenway and buying other sports franchises in Europe and whatever, and now you say you don't have enough money for Mookie Betts, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that really doesn't make any sense. And so, again, I think they're going to look back at this. They were penny wise and pound foolish because Mookie Betts is arguably the best player in baseball. I'd probably give Trout a little bit of an edge just from pure talent standpoint, but he's going to be the cornerstone of multiple championships for the Dodgers in the next few years.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How surprised were you by Kershaw's performance last night?
Not surprised at all. I think one thing that you have to understand about Clayton Kershaw is he's a pitcher. And good pitchers, when they have their stuff, especially against teams that don't have deep lineups, he pitched around to Rosarena. I mean, that was easy to see. The Rays just don't have a dynamic lineup. And so the Rays score runs because you make mistakes. And Kershaw's not really a mistake guy. He's just a guy that doesn't have dominant stuff, and good hitters can hit him. I mean, you look at what happened last year against the Nationals. It's Rendon and Soto, two of the best players in all of baseball. You look at what happened in the Braves series. It's guys like Freeman and Ozuna. He's not giving up hits to bums, right? So I'm not surprised at all that Kershaw had a great outing. Because if he executes his pitches against a lineup that's not very deep like the Rays, he's going to have success.
And there's a lot of strikeouts in that lineup, too, and he found them. Your former agent, Scott Boras, said that baseball should always play the World Series at a neutral site. Do you agree or not? I think that your championship team in 2009 benefited from unbelievably loud crowds at Yankee Stadium. I think that does spur teams on. What do you think about neutral site?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, Scott Boras has a lot of great ideas. I mean, he's the best agent in baseball history, maybe in sports history, and how he's helped grow the game. But on this one, I don't really understand it. I think the World Series is great for the home fans. We play for our fans. You know, whether the fans boo us or cheer us, you know, they pay our salaries. And so to be able to, whether you're in New York or Chicago or L.A. or anywhere across baseball, to be able to bring a World Series to your fans and let them watch a few games in person, I think that's huge. And so obviously we had to do it this year, but I don't think that's something that we should continue in the future.
The only thing I like about it, Mark, and I'm with you, I think the fans deserve a chance to go root for their team, is the neutral site of just not having bad weather games. I mean, it's going to snow in Minnesota this weekend. I mean, what if the Twins ever went to the World Series? I mean, it would be a joke. You remember 2008, the weather between, you know, Philadelphia and Tampa, and how that kind of ruined that World Series, I thought. So that's the only thing that's intriguing to me, is just knowing that you don't have to worry about, you know, 25-degree temperatures and snow.
You're exactly right, Don. But you know what I would say to that is I truly believe we need to shorten the season. And everyone might think I'm crazy, but you look at the amount of injuries that happen in baseball. You look at these issues with you know, bad weather early and late. I think we need to look at a shortened regular season and lengthening the postseason maybe a little bit. But you're right. 2009, we went to Minnesota. They were playing in the Dome. It was the last year of the Metrodome. On our getaway day, we swept them in three games. We went back from Minnesota to New York, and it was snowing. I mean, there was 3 or 4 inches on the ground when we were heading back to New York. So you're absolutely right. It is a problem. But I don't think it's that big of a problem that we should take away home fields for the World Series.
Well, Rob Manfred yesterday spoke about how he wants an expanded playoffs, but not 16 teams. And also he said most people hated it, but they came to like it, the runner at second base. So that could return. Do you like either of those?
I like the expanded playoffs. And you look at what happened this year. The two best teams made the World Series this year. So kind of check that box. That there wasn't some crazy anomaly that a bad team gets through. The way that I think that you should look at the expanded playoffs is not that we should allow an 8 seed to try to win a World Series, because the chances are they're not. But I think that you should say, I'm going to give the Marlins or the Brewers or the Padres or different teams that traditionally are not in the playoffs every year, I want to give their fan bases something to cheer for at the end of the year. And so I think that's the biggest thing for me. I would actually expand the first round to 5 games to make sure those teams don't win. Because I don't want to see, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees, when they have good teams, get upset in a 3-game series. So I think that one should stay. I'm either way on the man at second base. I wouldn't mind ties. I really don't mind ties in a game. We need to figure out a way to make the game shorter. That's just the fact of the matter. And if we can keep every game to 10 innings, whether there's a man on second or the 10th inning or not, after that, game's over. Go home. You don't have to use up all of your bullpen. You don't have to keep calling guys up from AAA. I mean, we're the only sport that on a daily basis the roster changes by two or three players. It doesn't make any sense. No other sport does that other than football, but they play once a week. It's a totally different game. And I think that shortening the games and allowing pitchers to not be overly extended would help that.
No, we were discussing in our pre-show meeting, when you see Betts steal a couple of bases, why analytically has the stolen base been taken out of the game, especially since 75% of the time you're successful, the teams that stole in 2020. So why is it something that's been systematically taken out of the game, and should it be?
Well, I think with the amount of power that's in the game, there's just less speed. And so when there's less speed, there's less people that talk about stealing bases or talk about getting leads or running the bases. I mean, the Braves, you could argue that the Braves lost a chance at the World Series because of base running. And it wasn't just the double play with men on second and third and nobody out. But, you know, Marcelo Zuna leaving early on the fly ball to Betts in right field. So, you know, base running is just taught less, is talked about less because power is so much more elevated. And if you ask me, if I have a draft pick and do I want to draft a kid that's 6'3", 220 that hits home runs, or a kid who's 5'8" and really fast, I'm gonna take the guy that hits home runs. That's just the way the game is being played today.
In closing, if I could push a button and get rid of analytics, and I can't, and no one can, I would. But I guess there are certain things that could be legislated. I watched you turn from when the Yankees, the year before the Yankees got, I think you hit like 350 with the Angels, and you became like a mid 200 hitter because of a shift. If you had the power, would you eliminate shifts?
Absolutely, I would. And there's a lot of different reasons. Number one, it's only discrimination against one set of players, that's left-handed hitters. And that's something that Scott Boras has talked about for years. So that's number one. Number two, we have a game now that has become a home run or nothing game. And the reason is all of our best left-handed hitters, and even right-handed hitters, by the way, they're starting to shift right-handed hitters if you're not fast. So you're discriminating as all left-handers and then right-handers who aren't fast. But you look at that infield and say, I have to hit the ball in the air. It's almost impossible, physically impossible, to hit 95 to 100 middle in the other way. You just can't do it. You're not going to hit that ball consistently. So you say, okay, I'm just going to drop the head and try to hit a home run here. So I think the game has suffered. It's not as fun to watch baseball as it has in the past. And number three, we talk about pace of play. Well, one way that you can get pace of play up there is if you eliminate the shift, guys are willing to expand the zone and put the ball in play more. Because if I can expand the zone and just hit a hard ground ball somewhere, I got a chance to find a hole. But where with the shift, it's just not happening. I mean, my batting average of balls in play left-handed was like 50 points lower than right-handed. The same guy. I was the same player. I swung at the same type of pitches. Obviously, I was the same physical and I had the same eye and all that kind of stuff. 50 points less. And I think what you've seen is a baseball game today where everybody is trying to hit home runs because of the shift. It's just not fun.
Well said. Enjoy the rest of the series. We'll talk to you next week.
Always fun, guys. You too.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.